where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
So glad to speak with you once again as we give an accurate report on the true health of the economy and the markets, and most importantly, analyze the data to divine the direction both are heading. According to the latest data from the New York Fed, reported average rejection rates for credit cards, auto loans, and mortgage loan refinance applications in 2023 exceeded those in 2022. In fact, the average rejection rate on auto loans increased by 5.8 percentage points to 11% in 2023. That is the highest rejection rate since the start of the data series in 2013. What am I saying here? Banks are tightening lending standards. And in a debt-based monetary system, that has helped cause the M2 money supply to shrink by 3.3% year over year. You just can't have a growing economy and inflation that's getting out of control if money supply is shrinking and lending standards are tightening and the Fed is doing QT. It just can't happen. An important indicator for the future of an economy is in any fiat-based monetary system is the health of the banking sector. And I want you to hear what the Dallas Fed has to say about the banking system. Quote, credit standards continue to tighten and loan pricing continued to rise at an above average pace this period. Loan demand has been declining for over a year, though the pace of decline has eased. Overall loan volume declined at a faster pace over the past 6 weeks, led by a sharp decline in residential real estate lending. Driven by a marked increase in consumer loan deficiency and delinquencies, overall loan non-performance rose at the highest rate since 2020, which was the breakout of COVID. Bankers remain pessimistic with expectations of further increases in loan non-performance, declining loan demand, and worsening business activity over the next 6 months. Close quote. Economic activity in the manufacturing sector of the economy contracted in November for the 13th consecutive month. So much for the onshoring you hear and the stuff you hear on mainstream financial media that's best listened to on mute tells you we're in a manufacturing renaissance. But here you find the truth from the Institute of Supply Management PMI index has contracted for 13 months in a row. And I wanted to give you a sample of what some of the respondents to the survey have to say about how their sectors are doing in the manufacturing sector, their specific micro sectors. Quote, the economy appears to be slowing dramatically. Customer orders are pushing out and all efforts are being made to right-size inventory levels, both to mitigate carrying costs on pushed out orders and to load up on inventory where costs are exploding like cold rolled steel. That quote, close quote, that's from the computer and electronics products sector. Let's go to chemical products. Quote, starting to feel softening in the economy with labor still a challenge to backfill critical roles. The 2024 forecasts look challenging, specifically from a cost perspective. Close quote. How about miscellaneous manufacturing? Quote, customer orders have pushed into the first quarter of next year, resulting in inflated end-of-year inventory. Close quote. I'll give you one more. Wood products. Quote, elevated financing costs have dampened demand for residential investment. Our business has been negatively impacted through reduced new orders for our products and services, close quote. That's the manufacturing sector. Very weak, and for a long time. That's the truth. Turning to the ISM services sector report, those services are still growing, but at a moderate pace. The diffusion index came in at 52.7 in November. But I found it very, very, very interesting to hear what these businesses say. Even though, again, the diffusion index is positive above 50, greater than 50 means it's expanding. Let's hear what they have to say, even though that expansion is moderate. Quote, there are fewer new projects in comparison to last month and November of last year. Customers are not requesting quotes for new services, information services, technology. Quote, this is for management of companies and support services. Quote, customers are conservative in spending, so competition to maintain market share is tight, close quote. And I'll give you one more. This is for scientific and technical services. Quote, fourth quarter revenues lower than projected, seeing negative revenues trend into the first quarter of the new year. We remain positive yet concerned about 2024. I mean, the takeaway here is that the economy is weakening. Close quote. So here's me again. The economy is weakening, but it's not yet time to short the market. But I believe that time is approaching soon, not much longer. And if you want more evidence of the coming recession that the mainstream financial media loves to ignore, let's look at continuing jobless insurance claims, which jumped to a two-year high, coming in at 1.927 million. The index of aggregate hours worked is down on the year. The JOLTS report, which is the Job Opening and Labor Turnover Survey, was released on Tuesday, showing that the number of available jobs that are open dipped to 8.73 million during the month, decreasing from a downwardly revised mark of 9.35 million in September. Economists had called for a reading of 9.3 million openings in October. More data. Consumer bankruptcies and foreclosures were up 19% year over year during the third quarter, and corporate bankruptcies increased by 30% over the past 12 months. Again, more truth. The Fed has raised the cost of money from negative 8% to positive 2% in the last 2 years. Meanwhile, the Fed has burned away $1.2 trillion of the base money supply and continues to burn $95 billion around that each month. This monetary crash, which has happened, is happening, and is intensifying as you have to refinance loans outstanding at much higher rates, is now being joined by the end of new fiscal support. That is the setup for phase two of the bear market. I now want to talk about what is going to happen after this next crash of asset prices occurs, which is on the schedule for 2024. You can have a lot of debt at very low interest rates. That can be a solvent condition. Or you can have very little debt at very high interest rates. That can also be a solvent situation. However, what you cannot have is a tremendous amount of debt at a very high interest rate. That is the prescription for insolvency and bankruptcy. That's where we're heading in the United States, sadly. I mean, the U.S. already has a debt-to-GDP ratio of 120%, $34 trillion outstanding. But the average interest rate on that debt is around 3%. But in the wake of the next recession slash depression, deficits and debt will surge from their already untenable levels. The deficit increased by 200% during the Great Recession. That means the $1.7 trillion deficit in fiscal 2023 could vault to over $5 trillion whenever that recession happens. $5 trillion. Imagine a $5 trillion deficit in one fiscal year. Maybe this fiscal year, fiscal 24. And then the interest rate on that unsustainable level of debt could and should surge, because who's going to buy it all? And at what yield? And at what price? In this scenario of a recession, depression, or just a normal recession where deficits soar by at least 100%, the Fed is going to only have two choices. Allow interest rates to skyrocket. In other words, sit idly by, don't buy anything, stay out of the way, continue QT, add to the pressure, and watch a depression engulf the economy, because there's just no demand for that kind of debt issuance at rates anywhere near 3%. It's going to be more like 6% average interest rate. That would wreck the economy, destroy it. Or, since depressions and recessions and politicians don't seem to get along too well, the Fed could choose to printing limitless trillions of dollars, like they've done before, but even in a much greater capacity and degree, in order to supply the necessary liquidity to the Treasury market to keep rates from going bananas. And this effort would become necessarily habitual, as the Fed comprehensively supplants the free market for government debt. Now, while this may serve to mollify the upward pressure on yields, it would also most likely cause the rate of inflation to surge to highs never imagined in the United States. The resulting stagflation would surely exterminate whatever is left of the nearly extinct middle class. According to a new poll done by the Wall Street Journal, only 36% of Americans still believe in the American dream. That belief in the American dream has dropped from 53% in 2012, just 10 years, a decade, to wipe out a good, over half of Americans believing in the American dream, now only a little over a third. According to a Bank of America recent survey of fund managers, 74% expect either a soft economic landing or an economy that just doesn't land at all. It just takes off from here. I will take the contra of that overwhelmingly consensus view, especially since it's wrong. What about you? Gold and treasuries account for 80% of Pento Portfolio Strategy's current holdings. Talk about sleeping well at night. We continue to spin off significant dividends into the portfolio as we wait patiently for phase two of the bear market to begin. I'm not going to rush it. When it happens, and it will, I will anticipate it and react to it. Having a 7% position in aerospace and defense, which is at an all-time high, helps to keep the fear of missing out in abeyance. An all-time high for gold doesn't hurt either. We will own more gold exposure on the next pullback. I hope you don't mind. I want to take just 1 minute to deride the permabulls who claim people like me are Cassandras and that we have been wrongly bearish during the past few years. First of all, let's not pretend that the markets have been a smooth ride upward, up, up, and away. In 2018, the S&P lost 20% in 3 months from September through December. By the way, it took the Fed to promise to stop hiking rates above 2.5% before the market took a breather. Then in 2020, at the outbreak of COVID, it dropped 33% in 1 month. My model picked up on that COVID breakout before it happened, because the people who really knew what was going on started to sell. And that's what my model picks up really well. Just 2 years later, it plunged another 30% from January through October. Turning to this year, the wipeout of the U.S. regional banking system that began in March was only put in check when the Fed printed $400 billion in two freaking weeks and bought the underwater assets from banks at par value, and then launched the Bank Term Funding Program, which continues to keep the regional banking system on life support to this day. But a banking system that is on life support cannot justify markets that are at all-time record high valuations. And as more and more of these loans roll over at much higher rates, more banks and businesses will falter. Therefore, the market and economy are going to have another crash landing first, most likely starting in Q1 of 2024. Then, depending on the course of action taken by the Fed and Treasury, it will most likely be a stagflationary investment environment where we go long base metals, energy. We're going to short the dollar, not be long the dollar, which has been a very, very beneficial trade for us. We're going to own foreign stocks, and we're going to stay long gold while shorting the bond market. Remember, I was bullish on stocks up until the end of 2021. We are not perma bears or perma bulls here at Pento Portfolio Strategies. We're just prepared to take advantage of all scenarios, and you should as well.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.